Macmillan Audio presents Marilyn Monroe, The Private Life of a Public Icon by Charles Casillo. Read for you by Therese Plummer. Prologue. She was the most famous woman in the world. Millions of people would have been thrilled to have her phone number, have lunch with her, talk to her, kiss her. Yet, she felt alone. She was alone. Nestled in her bed in Los Angeles, fighting the effects of the drugs in her bloodstream, Marilyn Monroe made numerous phone calls. At one point, she called her longtime friend, Henry Rosenfeld, a fashion mogul in New York. They talked about her upcoming trip to the East Coast. She was trying to make plans, to create a future she could look forward to. Then the dark feelings took over again. Marilyn's delicate frame of mind, her crushing loneliness, her fear of fading and losing her beauty, power, and ability to be loved, made her more fragile and needy than ever. She likely made a few more calls, exactly to whom is not known. There was no one to whom she could really talk honestly, because the person she felt they wanted was a dazzling creation based on being spectacular and sexual, and she feared that person was disappearing. She probably tried the White House at least once. The author Anthony Summers stated in his book Goddess and subsequent television interviews that a scrap of paper with a White House phone number was later found within her bedclothes. Early the next morning, Sunday, August 5th, the FBI showed up at the telephone company in Santa Monica to confiscate Marilyn's phone records for that night. A telephone company executive told the publisher of the Santa Monica Evening Outlook, Dean Funk, that he knew the FBI had been in the general telephone offices and had taken the record of her calls that night. After talking to Rosenfeld, Marilyn started to go under. The woomy-toomy feeling she liked began to take over. At about 8 that evening, Peter Lawford called her, suggesting that she come to his dinner party. Marilyn's voice was very slurred, her tone downbeat. "Peter, you're really a wonderful guy, and Pat is wonderful," she murmured. Pat Kennedy Lawford, the actor's wife, and sister of John and Robert Kennedy. "And Jack and Bobby are just great. I want to tell you how much." Part 1. A Broken Girl. Chapter 1. Mama. Perhaps her darkness began the very moment she was conceived, back in the days when illegitimacy was viewed as being born damaged and undesirable. "I am alone," she wrote mournfully. "I am always alone, no matter what." Marilyn Monroe would never know her father, and throughout her lifetime, her erratic mother would remain a disturbing, enigmatic figure. Gladys Pearl Monroe, who would become the mother of Marilyn Monroe, did not have a stable or happy life. She was born in 1902 to Otis and Della Monroe. Della was a tempestuous woman, considered a beauty in her day, with a round face, dark curly hair, and almond-shaped eyes. Otis was 10 years her senior, a dreamy man with reddish hair and a deep scar on his cheek, which he acquired in a fall. Otis had an artistic nature and dreamed of going to Paris to study painting. His actual career, however, was much less creative. He was a house painter who eventually landed a job at the Pacific Electric Railway, painting trolley cars in Los Angeles. Their son, Marion Otis Elmer, was born in 1905. The family was constantly uprooted. They had no lasting friends and
sample complete. Ready to continue?